on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
28 to 11, and we're going to find out what's happening in the greyhound world. The man who knows that is John Brash. Morning, John.
Good morning to you, Sean. Good morning, everyone. Yes, welcome along to another edition of Going Greyhounds on this Monday morning. There's plenty to talk about and plenty to review and preview for greyhound racing. Of course, we had the Group 1 National Futurity and National Derby at Wentworth Park on Saturday night, and it was a Jeff Britton-a-thon once again this week. Of course, Jeff trained the three heats of the National Futurity last week in the heats, and also won with Axel Footloose in the Derby heat, and Jeff cleaned up again on Saturday night. And first of all, we might go back and have a listen to the National Futurity, and it was a great clash between Circle of Dreams and the Queenslander Dam Slippery.
Racing, Oakvale Magic began brilliantly, so did Circle of Dreams and Dan Slippery down from the outer. Circle of Sure Dreams has got too much dash, led Dan Slippery, and they get Oakvale Magic going to third, followed by Sorry Scott, Boxcar Bella, then Flossing, Furious Not Fast, Family Spirit at the rear, Circle of Dreams, the pilot a length and a half, Dan Spirit, five to Oakvale Magic, they swing, the leader Circle of Dreams, Dan Slippery tries hard, Circle of Dreams won the futurity. Circle of Dreams first, Dan Slippery second, Oakvale Magic third ahead of Sorry Scott, then Boxcar Bella again.
That was the National Futurity taken out by Circle of Dreams, trained by Jeff Britton. Jeff is actually away overseas at the moment, and coming online to join us this morning is Jeff's partner Angela Langton. Angela, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Jeffrey's not in the country at the moment. He's enjoying coursing in Ireland, I understand, with a group of Australians.
Yes, they purchased a pup a couple of years ago, I guess, now, and that pup actually made this big coursing event over in Ireland. So 13 of them went over from Australia. I think the dog's called Wonder Down Under, and I've heard this morning that he's won his first course. So I think it's their biggest race over there, and they get thousands of people attend. So it's a pretty exciting event, even though it is minus one over there. So I'm glad I'm here and not over there.
So you've been left to do all the work, and you've obviously put the finishing touches to the Futurity and also the Derby winner. And first of all, we might talk about the National Futurity, Circle of Dreams. That's her second feature win. Of course, she won the Group 2 Laurels late last year and now takes out the National Futurity. And it was certainly a great performance, being able to push through shortly after the start and hold off the Queenslander in Dam Slippery for Brett Hazelgrove, winning by a length in 29.86, and that was her 11th career victory. Eighth win from 11 starts now, and she looks pretty promising in the making. We've lost Angela there. We might get her back online again in just a moment. So, as I said, Circle of Dreams taking out her eighth career win from 11 starts and now making it $162,500 in prize money. She was the winner of the Group 2 Laurels back at Sandown Park in late December. And I think we've got Angela coming back online now. Angela, I was just saying that she's won the 8 of 11 and she looks a pretty promising pup in the making and has now got the Group 1 on her CV.
Yeah, she certainly does. Look, she's been fantastic. She's only had the 11 starts for 8 wins and 1 second. And, you know, she's already amassed nearly $164,000 in prize money. Just unbelievable. You've almost got to pinch yourself to even believe that she could win so much money in a couple of months of racing. So she's done a terrific job. Mum and I purchased her as a puppy at 3 months of age from Barry Smith. And, look, it's a pretty smart litter. There are more in the litter that we haven't started yet that will start in the next couple of weeks at the Meadows in the Maidens. And it looks like it's a pretty hot litter, so, but she's just done a fantastic job.
Yeah, they're the Barsha Bale Mapunga Mia litter. So is there anyone in particular we should look out for in the next couple of weeks? You can throw a name at us or two.
Look, there's plenty. But Mapunga Wonder's one that's going nicely. And there's another girl, I think Mapunga Frankie, her name is. She's trialling really well. She's another one that looks like she can run, but even the dog I own, Black Hornet, he's got a lot of ability as well. He's having a bit of a spell at the moment. But I'd just like to mention, John, while I've got you on the phone, that Chris Carl and Alan and Bev Proctor looked after our dogs for the last week while Jeff's been away and put the polish on those dogs that won both those races. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to them. They've done a marvellous job as well looking after them. So I just wanted to let them know thanks very much for everything.
For sure. And, of course, you were looking after the team in Victoria, so you can't be in all places at once and with Jeff away. And sometimes you do have to send them to caretaker trainers, and they've obviously excelled up there in Sydney at the time.
Yeah, no, I think it was a good idea of Jeff. You know, he drove over on the Tuesday and gave them a box before the Friday night, and, you know, he left them there Wednesday all bar one because they could only take six between them. But, you know, it was probably a good idea to do that to save them travelling backwards and forwards, although Oh Magic did travel backwards and forwards, and she did a remarkable job considering, you know, how much travelling she'd done in the 1 week and a half. Mm. So did a great job.
For sure. Now, Circle of Dreams, as I mentioned, she's already won the Group 2 laurels late last year, and now she's got the Group 1 on her CV. She's a very, very good beginner, and she came out with them on Saturday night, and she was able to push through at the first turn, and it was a great effort to hold off the Queenslander Dam Slippery, who just went a little bit wide around the corner, allowing the bitch to rail through, and she proved a little bit too strong there, and she's got that early pace to be up on the speed and to put herself into the races.
Yeah, for sure, and Dam Slippery did a wonderful job, and she certainly was, you know, a big danger, and she stuck with her the whole way, and she's going to be a very, very smart little girl as well. So, yeah, Circle of Dreams, I think that just that pace and the middle split, you know, just gives them that chance to get away from the pack, and she just chases so hard, and, you know, to come from that box, I guess it was always a worry having box four, but she did a marvellous job to begin so well and then just drive through. And the one thing with her is she does seem to rail hard and she does drive through, which sort of gets her ahead a little bit.
Now, you had also Oakvale Magic in the final as well, finishing third there behind Circle of Dreams and Dam Slippery, and also Flossing, who was in early trouble and finishing in seventh position.
Yeah, look, Oakvale Magic did a terrific job. She actually began probably as well as Circle of Dreams, but the two just moved out and clipped the back of her legs, I think, probably at a crucial time going into the first turn, and that probably cost her a few lengths, so she would have been a lot closer, and she's very strong as well. So, you know, she's done a terrific job. She's very harshly graded in Victoria. She's been racing in free-for-all company for quite a while now. Unfortunately, that's our grading system. They grade on prize money and not on, you know, a young dog racing six wins against six wins like they used to, and I think it's a shame for these young dogs. And Circle of Dreams will be another. She'll hit free-for-all company every week now, which is a shame when they're only learning. So... they just have to step up when it comes to that or move in a state, basically, if they can't compete. So, you know, she's done a great job as well, Magic. She's definitely been very harshly graded, I think, in the last month or so over here. So it's been good to go back sort of in her own age group, basically, and compete against dogs of, you know, similar abilities.
Now, what about future plans for these bitches out of the series on Saturday night, Circle of Dreams, first of all?
Well, she's been nominated for the Tem Lee. She's got an invite, so we've accepted that. Whether she'll get a start or not, you know, she may not have done enough yet, but, you know, it's an honour for her just to get an invite. And now that she's won a Group 1, I guess that steps her up the ranks a little bit. But, yeah, I guess we'll just see what puppy races are up for them as well, just to try and keep them in lower grade as much as possible, just so while they're learning and while they're so young.
Of course, the Queensland Futurity in your own home state might be on the radar down the track.
Yes, it would be lovely to bring her up. Definitely would like to bring her up for that. So we'll see what happens, but that'd be great.
There you go. I'll do a bit of pushing for the Brisbane Greyhound Racing Club as their promotions officer this morning. What about Oakvale Magic? You may have to look at travelling again, given the grading situation there in Victoria. What about races for her upcoming?
Yeah, I guess the same thing. We'll just have to see what's coming up. There's a few, you know, oaks around different country tracks at the moment, so we'll just have to see when Jeff gets back what his plans are for her. I know she's paid up, you know, in Adelaide for their Adelaide bred races because she was bred over there, so no doubt she'll travel back for some of those as well when they come up.
All right, so, well, that was the National Futurity taken out by Circle of Dreams. We might turn our attention now to the Group 1 National Derby, and Speaking of smash-up derbies, this certainly was going into the first turn as we hear Timmy Newbell's call of the National Derby Final.
Racing, Rio Brave dwelt and Fantastic Yankee began brilliantly to lead initially, but then got dragged down and they're all over the shop at the first turn. Garb got across. Garb has gone to the lead, going to second. Axel Footloose and Fernando Blaster third making ground. They'll follow it up by North and then Rio Brave back on the inside. Beryl Frankie, a long break to Corborne Maddox. They're running the home corner. Garb tackled by Fernando Blaster. Garb, Fernando Blaster. Axel Footloose along the inside. Axel Footloose. Axel Footloose has won the derby. Now getting through to grab second was Beryl Frankie just ahead of Garb. And then Fernando Blaster. They'll follow it up by
Axel Footloose for Jeff Britton taking up the National Derby Final in 30 and 35, defeating Beryl Frankie coming from well back in the field and Garb getting around them at the first turn to be able to go to the early lead, but just couldn't hold off the challenge of Axel Footloose and Beryl Frankie. And if you get a chance to have a look at that replay, Unlucky was a Fantastic Yankee, took the lead shortly after the start, dragged down. Rio Brave was turned sideways. Another couple were interfered with as well. But Angela, I think it was a blessing in disguise that Axel Footloose actually missed the start there on Saturday night and actually headed straight to the rail.
Yeah, it was. Like when the box draw came out, I guess you're always a bit disappointed when you draw the box five. And, you know, I guess in hindsight it was lucky because if he'd had one, two or three, he may have been in the scrimmage and not done as well as he did. So missing the start, it just gave him a chance to rail underneath. And look, there was a lot of luck in that race for him to win it. You know, he's a very good dog, but he had a lot of luck to get through the first corner. And he is a good chaser and he is strong. So that sort of helped when he came around the home bend. The other Queensland dog in the red, I think it was, he still bumped the 9 dog coming around the home bend and that probably cost him as well. So Axel had a good run underneath and just drove through in the home straight and he was left out in front, which was great for us.
Is that his normal trait, missing the start, or is he normally a reliable beginner?
No, I don't think he's a great beginner. Look, sometimes he can begin well. He has begun at Meadows and run 5.07 to the first mark. So, you know, he has times there he does begin and then other times he doesn't begin. So he has got a little bit of pace and, look, he is racing really well. So he does definitely put himself in the race if he can be up close, handy, you know, initially going around the first bend.
Yeah, well, the time wasn't on the board, 30 and 35, but they don't pay on the time. And he's now got a Group 1 on his CV. And what about future plans for him going forward?
Yeah, I guess the same thing, John. He's only a young dog, so we'll see what's coming up. You know, he may end up at a trip up to Queensland if there's a derby coming up, and we might travel with a few of the young ones. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, we'll try and chase the young dog races first, I guess, and try and protect them a little bit from the higher grades. But once you win those sort of grades, you know, once you win those races, you know, you sort of do have to start competing with the better dogs. So, but he has had 28 starts, you know, so he's had a few starts under his belt, which is good, unlike, you know, young pups like Circle of Dreams who've only had 11. So there's a lot of experience, you know, he's got a lot of experience under his belt compared to her. So I guess, you know, we'll just go back to the city and then see what comes about after that.
All righty, Angela. Well, thanks for joining us online this morning, and it was certainly a great night for the kennel with you taking out both features there with Circle of Dreams and Axel Footloose, and the boys look to be having a great time of what I see on social media over there in Ireland, but you're back here doing all the work, and good luck and continued success in the coming months.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. Thanks for that. It was a great night, and thanks to Wentworth Park too and Ellen. It's always a great night over there, and I know some of the owners went over, and they had a wonderful time. So thanks to Wentworth Park as well for putting the races on. It was terrific and looking after everybody.
Angela, thanks for joining us, and talk to you again soon.
Yep, thank you very much, John. Bye-bye.
That's Angela Langton from the Jeff Britton Kennel. Of course, Angela, the partner of Jeff Britton, who's away at the moment, and they had a big night there on Saturday night taking out those features events. Well, we can report that one of Wentworth Park's stayers over the last couple of months has been retired, Big Butters, who broke the Garden's 715 metre track record last June, has been retired after dropping a back muscle last Wednesday night at Wentworth Park. She amassed over $95,000 in stakes with 28 wins from 63 race appearances. And the connections, Andrew Crouch and the team will be mating her when she comes in season two, Kinloch Bray. So that's Big Butters, who has been retired after injury there last Wednesday night. Of course, last Friday night at Richmond, we saw the Melbourne Cup winner, My Redeemer, going around there in a fourth and fifth grade event, getting ready for the Richmond Derby, and was able to score by 5 1/4 lengths in 30 and 60. Didn't have it all his own way, began only fairly, but then was able to push through at the first corner, got around them into the back straight, and his class told in the end there. So My Redeemer and Dave Gill will be heading towards the Richmond Derby. They had four heats of the Cannonball at Richmond on Friday night, and the winners there were Tap Out Dusty in 22.62, Relocate in 22.83, Meadowlands in 22.78, and the equal quickest winner was Hot Plate in 22.62. So they were the four heats of the time-honoured Cannonball at Richmond there on Friday night, and that final will be coming up as part of the program this Friday night. Well, at Bulleye on Saturday night, we saw a very hot run by Pindari Express in his return to the racetrack, and we might have a listen to that replay now.
Racing Pindari Express jumped very well off the inside between Slipping Slick and also Sienna Grand. Getting checked there with Slipping Slick, and Pindari Express ran to the lead down the side. That's the end of the section. Six in front of Sienna Grand, Flash Cow. They'll follow next by Sunburn City, Law Arnhem and Sleeping Slick. But in the straight, Pindari Express opens right up and has absolutely demolished him and has broken the 22. An amazing performance. Sienna Grand second from Sunburn City, Flash Cow. A break into the field in the Sleeping Slick, Community Values, Outlaw Arnhem.
There was Pindari Express for Tracy Scrooge, now running 21.93, the first greyhound to go under the 22 seconds at Bulleye, scoring by 9 1/2 lengths in his return to racing. And we've got Tracy coming online to join us this morning. Tracy, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, John. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Pindari Express, we know he can do it. He's had a little time off with injury, but back on the racetrack now, and we saw what he can do there on Saturday night. It was obviously a great return and a pleasing return for yourself getting back from injury.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic.
Now, what about the injuries that he's sustained over the last few months? You might like to tell us why he's been off the scene.
Yeah, look, he's just had a few minor injuries, John. Twice he knocked the top off each stopper. It just interfered with his preparation, and, you know, just didn't want to rush him or anything like that. So it's been nothing serious, just some minor setbacks. Unfortunately, it was just around when there was three group races on for him.
No time is ever a good time, but, you say coming into feature races and basically coming into the highlight of his career, and things just went a little bit wrong. Of course, he did hold the Bulleye track record. He did break that last year in May, going 22.18, which was shortly lowered by Black Forge to 22.16, but reclaiming that on Saturday night, and must have been very pleasing to see that time go up on the board, 21.93, obliterating that by a few lengths.
Yeah, it was. It was just amazing. I mean, he's just, as I've said it before, he never ceases to amaze. You know, he just does what he does, and he surprises everyone all the time, I think, like, with what he does.
Now, he's also got the Maitland record at 450 metres at 24.59 as well. And he's always had that high speed, but from bad boxes on occasions where he gets squeezed up. But when he's off and gone, he really does show what he's made of, and his class comes through.
Yeah, it does. He's just sort of electrifying in that second section. That's where he normally takes off.
Have you ever trialled him over the longer journeys of 500 metres, or is he an out-and-out sprinter?
No, I trialled him once at Wentworth Park. He went 29.85, and I took him down to Melbourne, Sandown, and he went 29.45.
Gee, that's nothing to sneeze about. So he obviously can run the 500 metres, but you obviously just haven't had a chance to step him up over that journey as yet.
No, I haven't.
Now, what about future plans in the near future for Pindari Express? I know with being injury prone, you've probably got to take him race in, race out, but is there anything in upcoming that you're going to set him for?
Well, I'm looking at the Bulleye Gold Plate, but I just like to take a run at a time.
So that's coming up middle of February. The heat set down for the 16th of February, the Bulleye Gold Cup Series.
Yes, that's right.
And would you eventually, given that he stays sound, step him up to the 500 and see what he can do there? Obviously, he can run it.
Yeah, look, that'll be a bit further down the track. I just want to get through Bulleye first, hopefully. And then we'll see what happens after that.
All right. Now, would you look at going down to Victoria? You did have a run down there at Warrigal, and that's where after that he went amiss. Would you look at travelling again to feature races interstate?
Look, the dog travels well, and I mean that's where all the big races are and the best dogs are. So, there's a lot of races coming up in Sydney at the moment, so I'll probably just stick to Sydney for a while and we'll just see what happens after that.
Okay. Well, Tracy, thanks for joining us this morning, and it was great to see him back on the racetrack again on Saturday night, obliterating that track record, and let's hope he stays sound this campaign and we can get through a campaign and see what he's really made of.
No worries. Let's hope so, John. Thanks very much for the time today too.
Tracy Scruce, the trainer of Pindari Express, who set new track record figures at Bulleye on Saturday night. Speaking of Saturday night, down in Victoria, we had the four heats of the Cranbourne Cup, and weren't there some outstanding performances here? No more than Poke the Bear winning in 30.09, coming from off the speed and really, really charging home to the line. We know that sometimes from bad boxes he can be a bit hit and miss, and that brings out his undoing sometimes. Even though he had box five there on Saturday night, it was an outstanding performance. Other heat winners were Azkaban in 29.87, Poke the Bear, as I mentioned, 30.09, Huxley scoring in 29.90, and Orson Allen was the fastest heat winner in 29.61. The box draw for the Cranbourne Cup final at Group 2 level is 1 Where's Woodley, 2 Poke the Bear, 3 Orson Allen, 4 Hyde Tan, 5 Huxley, 6 Blue Striker, 7 Azkaban, and number 8 is sure to excite the reserves, Hasten Slowly and Dinah Chancer. Not a bad couple of reserves there, so that's we look forward to the Cranbourne Cup at Group 2 level coming up next Saturday night, $47,000. As the girls mentioned earlier this morning, the invites have been issued for the three features coming up at the Meadows on February 16. The Rookie Rebel, the Group 1, over the 600 metres. We've got Blackjack Neo, Blue Striker, Dinah Chancer, Dinah Dean, Dinah Paddy, Infrared Star, Neo Clio, Slingshot Hammer, Yundurup Tank, Bacali, Black Impala and Blue Moon Rising. The nominations for the Tem Lee, Aston Cometto, Baruga Brett, Beast Unleashed, Black Opium, Buck's Future, Bundles Galore, Chips and Train, Circle of Dreams, Cosmic Bonus, Dinah Dave, Dinah Hunter, Hasten Slowly, Honcho Manelli, Jamella Jet, Leroy Rogue, Miss Splenda Miro, Mystic Riot, Nature's Gent, Orson Allen, Poke the Bear, Sinachi, She's Gifted, Trooper Manelli, West on Augie, Azkaban, Cash Point, Deliver, Hecton Bale and My Redeemer. So they're the nominations for the Tem Lee. And the Zoom top will see Beckham, Billy's Bake, Champagne Sally, Double G, Moment of Jai, Poco Dorado, Rip and Sam, Tornado Tears and Veloce Nero. They, of course, can be added to before the final nominations are taken. And, of course, any trainer this year can contact the Meadows. We had that clause where the trainers can ring and suggest that their greyhound be considered for a nomination for any one of those three features events coming up in a couple of weeks' time at the Meadows. Also in Victoria, we saw a new track record at Bendigo during the week, run by Flynn. And that record was previously held by Fernando Ball and Jimmy Newob, but Flynn running a time of 23 and 37 for the 425 metres journey, and an outstanding run home time there of 12.17. So that's a greyhound in Victoria to follow is Flynn. Well, a little later on this afternoon at Bathurst, we see the running of the two heats of the Bathurst Cup, and they've brought together some Metropolitan Standard fields there. In the first heat, you've got Caitlin Keeping, Oxley Rebel, Rostered On, Hollywood, Bougainvillea, Little Digger, DJ Holden, and a Punk Band. In the second heat of the Bathurst Cup, Nangar Gift, All Night Fever, Drink Schooners, Q Fever, My Mate Fox, Too Easy Punk, Kit Baloo Causa, and Double Up G. Thought we might preview the first heat of the Bathurst Cup, where we've got Caitlin Keeping the favourite there at $2.30 on tab.com.au fixed. And the trainer of Caitlin Keeping is coming online to join us this morning, and that is Charmaine Roberts. Charmaine, good morning to you.
Hi, John. How are you going to you and your listeners?
I am well, thank you. Now, of course, Caitlin Keeping comes up with box number one in the first heat of the Bathurst Cup this afternoon, and we haven't seen her since the Paws of Thunder final, and where she was a faller there, unfortunately. She came to grief at the first turn, and how has she come through that fall?
She's come through the fall quite okay. Funny thing is, with other dogs that we raced that night, they got injured, but we had two fallers on that night, and she pulled up good. She hasn't actually been trialled or anything, but she's just been coming up our straight at home, and she's been getting plenty of swimming in the pool at home, so she's been all at home, been working really well.
So there was no main injury concerns out of that fall?
No, thank goodness, no there wasn't.
All right, so she's just had a light preparation for this afternoon's run there at Bathurst?
She has. She hasn't been overworked, but she hasn't been underworked. She's pretty fit going into the Paws of Thunder. So just backing off on her for the 10 to 12 days certainly didn't hurt her. She's fit, box one. We don't really want her in box one. But anyway, if you haven't got box eight, where she wants to be, the next best is box one. Bathurst very leader biased. Let's just hope she can come out. And if she leads, she does get a little bit tired. But if you can kick clear at Bathurst, you're normally pretty much, home there.
Well, she's normally a reliable beginner. But as you say, she doesn't really look suited out of box number one. But as you say, she might be able to punch up at that at the first turn. And if she can get to the lead and prove very hard to run down.
Yeah, let's hope so. The biggest problem is her coming out. I don't know how dogs know, but she certainly knows when she's in box one or box eight. That's just her. The whole litter are a bit the same. They all want the outside, but she's probably more so wants the outside than the rest of the litter.
Well, she knows what it takes to win a big race because she's already been successful in the Group 2 Blacktop at the Gardens late last year.
Yeah, and she went back. We just threw her to the wolves there. As I said before, and she went exceptionally well. It was a big thrill to win that race because we just decided at the spur of the moment that she was gonna go to that. She never trialled there, and she did get run down in a heat, but then she came out in the final off box eight, which she was lucky enough to get drawn in that. She was reserve and got a run. And, she just went enormous. So for Shane and I, for us to win that, it was enormous. Yeah, it was really good.
Well, she's got a good record at Bathurst in the past, and that will stand her in good stead for the race this afternoon.
Yep, she has. And, there's a couple of dogs in that race that go really good. Like, you've got Race Miss Dog, the Little Digger, and the other one, Graham Dixon's at Bougainvillea. He goes well too. So it is a hard race. She can't afford to do one thing wrong because she'll be in big trouble if she does.
Then you've got Oxley Rebel and Rostered On are both Wentworth Park winners as well. Because as I said before we introduced you, they're very, very strong fields that Bathurst have got together for the two heats of the Cup this afternoon. They're Metropolitan Standard races.
Yep, they are really good heats, but as I said, both of them. But, and I think 15,000 to the winner. So it's good money, and it's a shame they only got two heats, but you can only deal with what you get, and that's all they got. So, yeah.
Now, you've got two other runners on the program in the heats of the Bill Kennison Memorial. Bolt Keeping from Box 3 in Race 5. Thoughts on Bolt Keeping?
He's actually a bad beginner too. He hasn't been to Bathurst for a long, long time. He's a good old campaigner. He come back from Western Australia. And seriously, he has not. I think we've given him 19 starts since he's come back. He's run one unplaced. He's just an old war horse. I give you a tip. If he can begin, he'll give him a shake. But if he misses the kick, as you know, the 300 at Bathurst, he'll be in all sorts of trouble. But he's probably the most honest, hardest chaser we've had for a long, long time. He's a really, really good hard chaser. But he has a tendency to miss the kick as well.
Mm-hmm. And won't want to do that from box number three. So just watch a box rise there. Yeah. And you've got Madeline Keeping, drawn the eight, placed its last two starts with a win there five starts ago in the second heat of the Bill Kennison Memorial.
Yeah, she's actually again. She hasn't been there for a long time. She actually is well boxed out there, sister to Caitlin. But she's a bit hit and miss at the moment too. But if she comes out, yeah, she will, like anything. If they come out, they win. If they miss the kick, they're in all sorts of trouble. But she is very well boxed, but hasn't been to Bathurst for a long time. But, you know, going there to trial, we just thought we'll put her in. Caitlin's going there, so we'll just put them in and see how they go. But, yeah, she is very well boxed there.
All right, Charmaine, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck with the team heading towards Bathurst this afternoon.
Now driving now, so thanks very much.
That's Charmaine Roberts joining us this morning on her way to Bathurst for the heats of the Bathurst Cup and the heats of the Bill Kennison Memorial, with the Keeping Dogs headed by Caitlin Keeping in a heat of the Bathurst Cup this afternoon. We wish the club all the best there. Just before we head out this morning, we might take a listen to one more replay. And of course, last Friday at Casino, Bob Lane, broadcaster there, wrapped up a 52-year career in broadcasting, and why not end this morning with Bob's last call at Casino, taken out by one of the better greyhounds that Bob has considered there in recent times in Cosmic Bonus.
Nash Bonus, Jackie Flashstorm, Cosmic Bonus, Gunho Storm and Aristotle go forward in the back of the track, and the two old fellas have got it up between them. Cosmic Bonus, Aristotle, Nash Bonus, Gunho Storm, further back to Hippie Trender. A long way back then was Brown and Ice, and so too was Typhoon Test, and out the back was Jackie Flashstorm. Cosmic Bonus got to wind the circle. Aristotle, Nash Bonus, battle on, but Cosmic Bonus, take your head off clean. Aristotle or Nash Bonus, Gunho Storm fourth, followed then wide by Typhoon Test in that pack, Brown Ice, Hippie Trend and Jackie Flashstorm.
Bob Lane, we take our hat off to you. Bob Lane's final call with a Cosmic Bonus taking out that race on Friday at Casino. And Bob, we wish you all the best of luck in retirement, and we'll no doubt catch up along the way. Well, Sean, that's another edition of Going Greyhounds this morning. We'll be back next Monday for another edition, and I'm sure there's going to be exciting greyhound racing coming up in the next 7 days.
Yeah, John, echo the sentiments too with Bob Lane. What an absolute gentleman and a pleasure to work with. He's just absolutely brilliant to work with, Bob. So we wish him all the best. 52 years, great career, John, isn't it?
Don't know if I'll get there, Sean, but certainly is a great career, 52 years in the one profession.
Yeah, fantastic. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Sean.